a low temperature of 44 degrees. And looking ahead to Thursday, breezy with periods of rain, with a high temperature of 58 degrees, a low temperature of 50 degrees.
Mrs. Olson, how do you make good coffee?
There are no shortcuts, so I use Folgers.
Why?
Different coffees taste different, and I think Folgers tastes best.
Really?
It's specially blended.
Folgers? I thought I tried everything. What's Mountain Grown?
Oh, the richest coffee there is. Try some.
Okay.
Hey, smells good. Your coffee?
Yep. How's it taste?
Great. Hey, everybody! Coffee break!
Get Folgers, mountain-grown coffee. You'll like the flavor.
And you'll like the new show here on WWGH Radio even better. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Yes, Adam left, that's me, also known as Adam the Computer Guy, but I wear many hats here at the radio station, and right now, the hat that I'm wearing will be associated with talking about almost anything and everything. Joining me shortly will be my longtime friend and business associate and pseudo-brother in broadcasting, Mr. Nick CJ from Wales in the United Kingdom, talking about almost anything and everything. We're also broadcasting a live video of my show. You can go to our radio station's Facebook page. Please become a fan and follower if you're not already one, or if you're a fan of mine or a friend of mine, that's good. If not, become one. Look up Adam the Computer Guy or Adam Leppin, Ohio. Go ahead and look for the live video, and voila, there I am in the flesh doing the new show. Episode number one of Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Don't you miss those really cool coffee commercials on your television or radio, including the one with Margaret Hamilton doing a Maxwell House commercial? Of course, she played the Wicked Witch on The Wizard of Oz, and during those commercials that she did, she played a much nicer, sweeter person, but that's part of the fun of acting. Of course, one of our frequent guests, by the way, she's celebrating her 90th birthday shortly, is Pat Carroll. She's been on so many shows. If I told you every show she was on, my show would be over, but anyway, she'll be on with Scott sometime in the next few days talking about her upcoming 90th birthday. And she's played good characters and bad characters and pretty much everybody in between. One of our many regular celebrity visitors to the airwaves, the wonderful, lovely Pat Carroll. Be on with Scott in a few days, and stay tuned for some more details about that. Always a surprise or two here on The Talking Place, WWGH. Broadcasting via our website at WWGH1071.com. And of course, if you're a user of a Mac phone, that's called an iPhone, or a Android phone like myself, you can download the free app called TuneIn. And TuneIn lets you tune in to our station. Just search for WWGH 107.1. I'd like to thank Harry from the north end of Columbus for watching my live video. He asked a question: are you in the hospital? Well, thank goodness I'm not. I'm here at the radio station. I know it looks like I am because of the tapestry behind me. That's because we have a new studio, Harry. Hopefully you can come join me live in the studio and see it, because it is cool with a capital C. We have this blanket for kind of a sound insulation purpose, but it does look kind of cool, as you do point out in an indirect fashion. Last hour during the usual show that's on with me, every Tuesday morning, the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, my longtime business associate and friend and brother in broadcasting, Mr. Nick CJ from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom. We were talking about a plethora of IT-related topics. Now we're going to talk about topics that may or may not be related to IT. By the power and magic of the internet, Nick has rejoined me. Are you there, Nick? How are you doing this afternoon there in Wales? How are you doing this fine Tuesday, May 2nd?
He is here. Nick is here. Your brother in broadcasting. I really like that. Thank you very much, Adam. That's quite a nice thing to say.
Okay, I wanted to answer a question that my friend from a much smaller distance, Harry, from the north end of Columbus, asking and watching the video if I was in the hospital. Actually, it's not a hospital gown. It's kind of like this short-sleeve hoodie that I bought at JCPenney's a couple days ago. I guess it looks like a hospital gown, but no, I'm not in the hospital. I'm here in the studio, alive and well, much to some people's chagrin, perhaps, but that's how we roll. So anyway, Nick, it's about 16 minutes after 3 in the p.m. there in Brecon in Wales. What did you think about your appearance? Of course, it wasn't the first time, but it was probably the longest appearance by yourself on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show last hour. Did you feel we talked about some good topics?
Very good topics, and I thought that our technology had become better. I'm actually talking on an iPad. And you've hooked it up somehow there with your technological wizardry. I'm getting no echo, I'm getting no lag, and I'm hearing you as it's going out, which is a lot better than what I normally hear, because I normally get a sort of a up going on in the background, which can be quite off-putting. When you're trying to focus your mind on various things.
You know, doctors get sick, lawyers have lawsuits, and even we tech people sometimes have issues to deal with. But I think we've gotten this straightened out. Even my fellow manager here at the station, our esteemed program director, Mr. Scott Spears, even he was impressed by my little setup. But that's how we do stuff here at WWGH. And by the way, Nick, I probably will be on with Scott and another of our general managers, Terry Tackett, in a couple hours for Now with Scott Spears. If you want to hear more of me and my wisecracks and opinions, I'll be on that show after I go eat lunch and probably post a picture of my food on Facebook. I know Scott likes it when I post photos of my food when I go eat somewhere at one of the many fine restaurants here in Marion, but that's another case in point. Well, actually, Nick, why don't you and I talk about that? I know we talk about food sometimes, and of course there are some cultural differences in the delicacies in the UK and Europe, and of course even in your part of Wales, versus here in the United States. What do you think about people posting pictures of food? Is it kind of childish, even if you're, our age group, or you think it's a cool thing we can do maybe to relieve ourselves of the tensions of world affairs? What's your take on that?
I post pictures of food. I'm guilty. Okay, string me up. I do post pictures of food too, and I'm sometimes appalled at what I do. But mine started because I started doing reviews for TripAdvisor. And I went on a trip to Iceland, and I did a review of a restaurant there and got about 4,000 views. And I suppose it's partly ego that made me start doing it. So I now review on TripAdvisor and have something like 90,000 people looking at my reviews. So, yeah, it's I think it's quite good, especially if somebody's thinking of going somewhere to eat and they get to see exactly what the plate's going to look like. Not, ooh, it was lovely and they did a nice gravy, but you can actually see what it looks like, and I think that's quite nice. And of course with TripAdvisor and things like that, you usually take an internal and an external shot of the place, so people get an idea of where they're going and what it's going to be like. So from my point of view, I quite like it. I'm not quite so sure about photographing your food at home if you're a home cook. Unless you've come up with some superb recipe that you want to share with your friends.
So I guess like with a lot of things, Nick, necessity is the mother of invention. And if you feel there's a reason, if there's an obvious reason to photograph food, like when you're a TripAdvisor, I guess that's what you would be called, you end up doing it in your personal life also. And those who know me are aware that I'm an aficionado of Asian food, Chinese, Japanese, Indian. It's all delicious to me, and the food also tends to look attractive. That's part of the idea of sushi. It looks almost too good to eat, but my stomach would probably feel otherwise. But anyway, taking photos of the food, I guess it does relieve some of the tension, and you do want to see what the food looks like. As you're paying for it in a restaurant, it should also be attractive. Would you agree with me, though, Nick, that as I talk about, people seem to take photos of their kids, grandkids, and cats and dogs most often? I don't have any of those items. Again, I'm not sure if you have pets there besides the sheep. You do have a daughter, and she's one of my Facebook friends and a very lovely wife. Do you think that maybe the how do photos of food compare to photos of family members and pets?
No, that's a difficult one. That's a difficult one. Yeah, two daughters, which I follow on Facebook, and they follow me. So, and often say, oh my God, Dad, what are you posting on Facebook? Please take it down. And they also ban me if we're doing family photos of putting pictures of them up sometimes. Does everybody want to see my cat? No, I don't think so, not necessarily. So it's, but then it's the internet, so everybody has the option to turn it off. We ought to talk a bit about bullying, or cyberbullying. That would be a good topic at some point in time. Maybe
it's not a positive topic, so yeah, we'll cover that. Sorry to interrupt you there, Nick.
I think that would be a good one for Adam the Computer Guy show. But, you know, it's as with cyberbullying, though, I was just going to just shortly, you know, summarize it. It is, you have the option to turn it off. You know, the same with people who say, oh, there's a terrible film on this afternoon, you know, this evening, and it had sexual scenes in it. And the sexual scenes went on, and there were some after 15 minutes and some after 30 minutes. And I was horrified by the one at 30 minutes, and then the one at 45 minutes was even worse. Well, excuse me, but why didn't you turn the TV channel over after the 15-minute one, which, inverted commas, you know, was so shocking?
I think sometimes people, Nick, they want to see something which they don't like just so they can complain about it. At least that's how we often do things here in the States. People almost focus on the negativity. And I think
that's why you've got the Donald as president.
Quite possibly the Prezidonald. That might explain that. We're talking with my longtime brother in broadcasting. He liked that designation. Friend, business associate, and all-around interesting person, Mr. Nick C.J., who lives in Brecon in Wales. We'll talk more about his domicile shortly. This is a new and temporary program here on The Talking Place, and it's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And yes, I'm Adam, also the computer guy, but I wear many hats here at the station. So that's how we roll. I am taking your telephone calls. Nick is here by the power and magic of the internet. Our phone lines are open. Please call me. You can talk to me and or Nick, or just provide an opinion about anything and everything, because we're the talking place, and we're the place to talk. The number is 740-383-9944. I'm also live on Facebook video. Feel free to leave a comment, question, suggestion, complaint, or other type of feedback. Leave a comment on our Facebook page. And last but not least, we have a private email server, just like certain female presidential hopefuls. And you can email me on said server at adam@wwgh1071.com. Beep, beep. Yes, I tooted my own horn because I'm the proprietor of the server that runs our email. So you know it's got to work pretty well. And it's got to be secure, unlike some email servers that we discussed during the previous hour with Nick about servers that claim to be secure, but aren't. Just a quick note on that, Nick, because this is sort of an IT topic, so we'll save it for an Adam the Computer Guy show, but do you think that providers often exaggerate or even lie about how secure their, or how supposedly secure their servers are? Is that commonplace?
I think it's commonplace there and here, yeah. It's Yahoo had the biggest ever breach last year, stroke early this year, ever. I mean, it was 2 years ago it actually happened, but they kept shtung about it, and it's only came out recently. But it's not good for business, is it? It's like saying, I'm a milkman, but I break half the bottles I deliver. Well, you're not going to get very very many customers. So, yeah, they like to big it up.
We'd like to thank Shane from I believe he's in the capital city, Columbus, Ohio, USA. North America, Earth, of course, for watching my video. Thank you very much, Shane. Feel free to call the show or leave a comment. Love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Live here on Facebook video, broadcasting via our website, and also the old-fashioned way, within about a 15-mile radius of the great city of Marion, Ohio, at WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Nick, let's talk more about your domicile there. I guess I think they use that word there in the UK. Brecon in Wales. Tell our listeners, Marion has about 35,000 people. The county's got probably twice that. We're an hour north of Columbus, the largest city in Ohio, with 800,000 people, plus a rather large metro area. How does that compare to Brecon in Wales, where you hang your hat?
Well, I'm going to have to Google it. I'm going to Google it while we're talking. But my local population is 250 people. So my immediate people are 250 of them. The population of Brecon is 7,901. And so, yeah, nowhere near your population. Population of the whole of Wales, let's have a look at that.
We have sound effects. Nick is actually at his keyboard typing away. How about that for real-time radio? Gotta love it.
3 million.
What's
that's the whole population of Wales.
What's the main city there in Wales? What's the main city?
Cardiff. Cardiff is the main city. It's population of Cardiff is, so we've got 3 million in Wales. I know as a statistic there are more sheep in Wales than people.
Well, will you I used that will pun last hour also, but I think it was so good we'll repeat it. We will repeat it because, you know, sheep and wool and all that good stuff. So how far are you from Cardiff or any what we would call a major city?
60 miles from Cardiff. Population of Cardiff, 300,000. Population of London, 8.6 million. So you can see the difference there proportionately. But we do have our own parliament. It's called the Senedd. And we have a proportion of self-rule here in Wales, but not the big questions.
Now,
they can set bus times, I think, but nothing else.
Now, Wales and, again, England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, etc., they're kind of like states in the United States, but aren't they a little more autonomous? I never really understood that difference. So you would obviously know more than I would. How would, like, Wales and Scotland and England, how would those compare to states in the United States? I mean, they're part of the same country, but aren't they a little more separated than the states are here in the U.S.?
They've got a single wiggly borderline, just like your states have. How can I describe it? I mean, it is the United Kingdom, and it is the Union. And I've just looked it up. It was 1707. In 1706, the Scottish Act was made, and the Wales Act followed that, and that's when we became the Union, so the Great British Union. The Scots at the moment want to leave because they want to stay in Europe, and the UK voted 52-48% to leave the European Union, which included Scotland, but they now want sort of to work on the best of three principle. You know, it's the same as after the Donald got elected. Right. Could we have another vote, please, we don't agree with it.
Had some rumors here that our largest state in population, California, they're even calling it Calexit, kind of a takeoff on the Brexit, that they might secede. I don't think it's going to happen, but there have certainly been rumors. Also Texas, which borders Mexico, another very populous state, also our second largest state after Alaska in size, physical size, that they might also become a separate country. I don't know if it'll happen, but you see those rumors, you hear about them all the time. What do you think about Scotland, though, Nick? I mean, Ireland is now, there's Northern Ireland and regular Ireland, which is not part of the UK. So do you think Scotland is a possibility, or is it more just a pipe dream for some of the people there?
Personally, I think it's a pipe dream. I think that they are, I mean, Scotland became very rich when they discovered oil in the North Sea off the coast. And we, as a union, did benefit greatly from them discovering oil. But then we support a lot of their systems as well. So I think with all countries, all groups, all linkings, it's always a swings and roundabouts. And
I think that they're chomping at the bit, but I don't think that they will get their independence.
You are listening to my special guest, who is in Wales in the United Kingdom, even though he sounds like he's next door. But by the magic and power of technology and a few little things that I've rigged up here in the studio, he sounds really close, really good. Gotta love the accent also. Nick, what do you folks over there think about the American accent? Do I seem like I have a thick accent, or are you kind of used to it over there? You kind of wonder, how is the other side of the coin? What do you guys think about American accents?
I'm going to choose my words wisely. We are influenced a lot, obviously, by films and TV and things, and we all watch the American series, so we get used to it, I suppose. We get used to the American accent. The American, should we call it, drawl, slightly more down south, we find a little bit more humorous, but it is what it is. But then you have that, I often see American comedians sort of taking off the English accent and trying to sound very posh, shall we say, the posh English accent. The Hugh Grant type accent, and of course we don't all speak like that. We have our ghetto type people that are what we call chavs. We have our Cockneys, and the accent that I use on the radio is very different, probably, from my normal accent. It's funny. I had a customer in this morning who is David. With a double D at the end for his D-A-F-A-double-D, David Walters, who is has written a pamphlet on Welsh law, and he's very learned. He's a professor, and I was talking to him, and we were talking about language. It's funny you should bring this up, and I realised that I was mimicking slightly in the fact that I was trying to speak more what they call perceived English, the pronounced English, where you use all of your words. Whereas if I was out with friends, it would probably be a little bit more Cockney, a little bit more, you know, as this then, let's go and have a gander at that. And so there's the two accents, the radio accent and the ordinary accent.
So, not unlike myself, the way you talk on the radio may not be exactly the same as you would talk to your friends or even your wife or kids, for example. And that's true. Every radio person does have a special inflection or delivery. People that know me know I don't sound exactly the same in person, but similarities. I certainly try to speak clearer and use all of my mouth muscles in a radio kind of a presentation. And I'm kind of really new to talk radio. I more used to being a DJ on oldies or classic rock stations. And by doing the talk radio, I think it's really helped me, because I do admire how a lot of your news people sound. I talk about one of my favorites, Wolf Blitzer, kind of an old school news guy on CNN who always has something important to say, doesn't seem very biased, and is extremely articulate. Plus, he looks like a newsman, and that's part of the image when you're on TV. We're speaking with my, again, longtime associate, brother in broadcasting, Nick C.J. from Brecon in Eastern Wales, United Kingdom, on the new and temporary show here on The Talking Place. It's called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And that's me, Adam. I'm the same Adam. It's Adam on the computer guy. I wear many hats here at the station. Coming up after the 11 o'clock features will be the very lovely and articulate Linda Sims. She's also on twice a week. And following that, after the noon features, will be Now with Scott Spears. Appearing with Scott will be Terry Tackett. And I'll also be in the studio, at least part of the show, talking about almost anything. I'm rarely at a loss for words. Let's talk maybe one last time, Nick, about your location. If I'm not mistaken, Brecon and your domicile, you're not that far from the English and Welsh border. Is that correct?
No, we are in fact a border town. Yeah, it's I'm near the Glasbury, and that is I'm probably 3 miles from the border between England.
So you're almost walking distance then to England. I mean, you could walk there in a couple hours.
Yeah, an hour if I put it on briskly.
Now, because, again, the England and Wales are the same country or same, I guess, nation state, there's no customs or anything. You just walk into England and see a little sign saying, welcome to England. There's not really anything beyond that. Is that correct?
Yep. No customs at all, apart from if you cross at one point down near Cardiff, you have to cross a bridge called the Severn Bridge. And they have a toll on it, and for a car it's about £6.50. For a lorry it can be £20, but you only pay it coming from England into Wales. You don't pay it going from Wales into England. So they always say that it's a tax on entering God's country, but you don't have to produce any paperwork, just the money.
And we are also broadcasting a live Facebook video of this show, and among my watchers is my lovely cousin-in-law, Juanita. Out on the west coast of the United States, where it's nice and early. Thank you very much, Juanita, for watching the video. Always a pleasure. Nick, again, I'm not an expert in world geography or history, so pardon my lack of knowledge. But Ireland and Northern Ireland, they are separate countries. They have no political connection other than some of the culture being the same. That is correct, right?
So did you say Ireland?
Yes, Ireland and Northern Ireland. That the UK is Northern Ireland is part of the UK.
But Northern Ireland is part of the UK. But it's attached to Southern Ireland, obviously, and that is the whole thing is a separate island. If you don't normally need a passport to pass between us and Ireland or us and Northern Ireland. But sometimes things come into force if there's odd terrorist things. But of course, we had various uprisings between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. And so there can be animosity over there.
So it's almost depends what day that you cross. That influences how difficult it might be to enter Ireland or enter the UK or Southern Ireland from, I call, regular Ireland. I guess the band U2, they're Irish. They sing a lot about the differences or about some of the political issues. Is the culture, how much you know about Ireland, Nick? Is the culture about the same, just more of a political division, or are there more differences in culture than a lot of people might think between the two Irelands?
Yeah, not a political division. It's a religious division. It's the Catholics against the Protestants. That's the big problem. And people like the IRA are willing to kill for that difference. They were terrorists, basically, like the Spanish ETA and some of the other small groups that are around the world in different parts, where they want their own language, they want respect for their religion, and they feel that anybody else is disregarding their religion, that's a death sentence. So it's quite frightening. I was recently at a party and speaking to a couple who had been married for about 25 years, and the one was from Northern Ireland and the one was from Southern Ireland. One was a Protestant, one was a Catholic. And they said that family still didn't talk to them properly. It was still a very divided sort of relationship then with their families as to who spoke to who when.
So interestingly, it's almost more of a religious division than a political, which you really wouldn't see here in the States. And again, I pardon my lack of knowledge. It's not something I know much about, and I haven't been to either country. But it just seems kind of sad that people should just get along a little bit better. I mean, they're both Christian, and you would think there'd be less of a divisiveness than there is.
Yeah, but when you've got quite often. If you, I mean, the Muslim division between the Sunnis and the lost the other one, but the fact that there are Muslim divisions even. So again, two people, same religion, different ethos on how it should be interpreted. So it's sad though. It's always sad, especially religious war when. Religion really should be about peace, I always believe.
Is Wales politically diverse, or what are the main religions of your countrymen there in Wales?
In Wales, it was always a chapel community. I think you have people like the Presbyterians Church and things like that. Over
Presbyterian,
there.
Methodist, Lutheran, those are the main prominent denominations here in Mid-Ohio.
That's what most people would have been here, because, I mean, a lot of the migrants that came over to you were from those small chapels and then set up chapels over there. So I heard the other day, which I didn't realise, that the Mormon Church started from Merthyr Tydfil in Wales, about 27 miles from where I am now.
I thought it originated in Utah. I didn't even know that.
No, it went to Utah with the migrants from Merthyr Tydfil. I only heard that, and I haven't verified it, but I heard that it was people that went from Merthyr Tydfil to Utah that started it.
Yeah, again, you learn something new every day here on the Adam the Computer Guy show. And, of course, this isn't the Adam the Computer Guy show. Just playing with your mind there. This is Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And that's myself, and I'm also the computer guy, person of many talents, or at least many attempts at talent. Call me here at the station. I'm live in the studio, live on Facebook video, 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. And on the line with me, by the power and magic of technology, is my longtime friend and business associate, brother in broadcasting, Mr. Nick CJ from Brecon in eastern Wales, about a two-hour walk from the Welsh and English border. Nick, we were talking about Ireland and a lot of other political things, and you've really educated me. I really appreciate it. There's an Irish last name called McDonald. We're not going to talk about the last name. We're going to talk about the restaurant. You have McDonald's there in the UK. Is that correct?
Yes. And I've got a friend called McDonald who is an Irish McDonald from Southern Ireland, and he was telling me not long ago that his name is Scottish. It originates in Scotland and moved to Ireland. So there are Irish McDonald's and Scottish McDonald's linked by blood, but different spelling as well.
Yeah, I mean, Mac is often, I think it means son of, like MacDonald being the son of Donald, or McDonald, the son of in Ireland. And there are a lot of people of Irish descent here in the Midwest. So you hear a lot of Irish names. And again, McDonald's, we don't really think of it as, we think of it as being an American restaurant, but I guess kind of a good segue into our political discussion that we had earlier. Anyway, Nick, McDonald's has some new concepts, and I want to talk about this. We want to cover some quirky news stories on this show, and we're going to talk about this briefly and then see what Nick has to say about it. You probably heard of spoons, forks, knives, and sporks. When I was in school, we had a combination spoon-fork. It was called a spork. McDonald's has a new utensil called a fork. Very hard to say fork, and I can't even say it. It's spelled F-R-O-R-K. Now, this came about, the fork, as part of a McDonald's campaign to, quote, get the word out that sandwiches in its new signature crafted recipes lineup are so packed with toppings that you'll need a special utensil to deal with it. Now, will the fork change your life? Probably not, says TV pitchman Anthony Sullivan in the video. Oh, by the way, Nick, Anthony Sullivan is British, isn't he? I didn't even realize he was doing the commercial, but he's got a British accent. Is he big here?
I'm just looking up forks on Google while you're talking. So carry on.
Yeah, but Anthony Sullivan, he's a British, by the way. Anyway, he's asked the question during his TV commercials, will the fork, which is impossible to say even for a radio person like myself, will it improve your signature crafted recipes eating experience? I mean, sure, maybe. Now, at first glance, the fork doesn't seem real, but apparently you can actually own one. A limited supply of forks will also be available with the purchase of a signature crafted recipe sandwich this Friday, May 5th, but only at participating restaurants. You can visit the McDonald's fork recipe for details. What do you think about that, Nick? Will that catch on there in your neck of the woods or here? Is it really too much of a gimmick to make sure that McDonald's keeps its customers in an ever-changing and competitive fast food climate?
I think I've just seen it, and I mean, it looks like an April Fool's joke to me, but I mean, I can see that it is real, but it does look like an April Fool's joke. I can't see how it's ever going to catch on. I think any utensil that you have to have to eat food to go is going to be something that doesn't happen. You need to devise the food so that it can be eaten without the drip, as they're talking about here on this advert. You used to eat the toppings that drip from a pico guacamole burger. Well, I think they need to work out how they put the guacamole in there, really, because that's the whole thing of being able to eat and walk, eat and talk. And I mean, if you ever look at those programs where they think that we're going to end up with no fingers and just big flat hands so we can hold burgers in 2,000 years' time, the fork doesn't have a place there.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Nick. That was an interesting opinion. We'll find out what happens. And I tell you, even as a radio person like myself, and I enjoy pronouncing difficult words, fork is almost impossible to say. So thankfully, we're going to conclude that story, and my mouth will not be punished any further. Last hour, again, we're here live in the studio in our new studios in the east side of Marion, Ohio, on the new show, temporary show, called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, with, of course, I'm Adam, live on Facebook video, and also you can call me. Please pick up the phone and call. I don't bite. 740-383-9944. On the line via the magic of technology with Nick CJ from Eastern Wales in the United Kingdom, where it's about 3:47 in the p.m. And I here in Marion, it's about 10 degrees Celsius, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. A little damp outside, but that's okay. I don't mind the change in seasons. It was very unseasonably warm last week. As Nick and I talked about, we have a caller, one of our regular callers, and let's go ahead and patch him in, and let's see what he has to say. Good morning. You are on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam.
Adam, how you doing, bud?
Very good. Very good, Mr. Frequent Caller, whose name starts with a G. Nick, can you hear my caller okay? I want to see if the technology is working.
I can't hear your caller at the moment, no.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and relay any questions that my caller has for Nick. Did you want to ask me a question, Gail, or did you want to talk to Nick? How can we be of assistance to you on the great airwaves this morning?
I've been over to England before. I went the day that the second time that Bush was elected, and I made the statement that you know, if Bush wins, I'm gonna leave the country. I also made the statement that. If Romney wins, I'm also going to leave the country. And I find it very enjoyable over there. My daughter had been there previously with a friend of hers. And we got to go up to Leeds and all that. And we rode the train from the main station up to Leeds. And, we were in the smoking car because at that time my wife smoked. And I couldn't understand the word. It was very interesting, and I enjoyed it. But my gosh, it's definitely a foreign country in many ways.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and patch a new setup next week, which will let Nick hear our callers in real time. But Nick, our regular caller, he wanted to let you know that he found Wales to be a beautiful area. And I guess they took a train ride, and that time in a smoking car, and really enjoyed the experience. Anything you wanted to ask my guest, Nick? Anything else you wanted to ask him, Gail?
No, it's been very interesting interchange there. I enjoyed the show so far.
Great, I'm glad to hear that. And thank you again for your regular calling and regular listening.
Anything I wasn't else? Aware until just a couple of minutes ago that I was able to call in.
Yeah, we've rigged something up by the power and magic of technology. Unfortunately, Nick can't hear you directly. I can relay what you're saying.
Okay, and a lot of the time here, you keep cutting in and out a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to be rigging up something even better.
We've got to talk to a computer guy about that.
We'll get on right on that. But thank you very much, Gail, for calling. I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great rest of your morning.
You too.
Okay, well, Nick is back with me via the power and magic of the internet. You're still there, right, Nick?
I'm still here, yes.
Thank goodness for that. Didn't accidentally disconnect anybody. Our regular caller from here in Marion, he is a frequent contributor. We greatly appreciate what he has to say, a man of many good life experiences. Wanted to just thank you for being on the show and talk about what a beautiful area Wales was. Next week, I hope to rig up a better setup where you can actually interact directly with our callers. So I'm going to work on a few more tricks. I always have a couple up my sleeve, and that's part of the fun of being in the broadcasting business. Anyway, about 9 minutes before 11 in the a.m., that's 9 minutes before 4 in Wales, because that's where my special guest today, Nick, is from. I want to thank JB, someone else who's been in the broadcasting business. Thank you for watching my video. Hello to you also. He's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's a newlywed. Congratulations, JB. He's also a very talented drummer and singer, by the way. Nick, as you know, it's not been a very good few weeks for United Airlines. You would agree with me, right?
Not good at all.
Did you hear about the rabbit story?
Yes, the one that got put in the freezer.
Yes, Annette Edwards, a giant rabbit breeder, said that her 3-foot bunny, Simon, was found deceased in the plane's cargo area after a United flight from London. I didn't realize it was from London, your neck of the woods, to Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. Not a very good year for O'Hare Airport, is it? On Monday night, Annette said the 10-month-old 50-pound rabbit was healthy before getting on the flight, according to your newspaper, The Sun. Simon the rabbit was expected to grow enough to be considered the world's biggest rabbit. She said Simon had a vet's checkup 3 hours before the flight and was fit as a fiddle. Something very strange has happened, and I want to know what. I've sent rabbits all over the world, and nothing like this has happened before. Simon's father, Darius the rabbit, a continental giant, is over 4 feet long. That's a big bunny, 4 feet long, and held the Guinness Book of World Records for the world's longest rabbit in 2010. Edwards is also a minor celebrity in her own right. She once spent an estimated $16,000, that's about, I think, 10,000 pounds, on cosmetic surgery to look like the sultry cartoon character Jessica Rabbit. Not been a very good year for United Airlines or for the Chicago airport, has it, Nick?
It has not. No, we've been watching quite a few parodies. I don't know if you've seen them on Facebook, where they've especially taking off the old clips from the old airplane films with Leslie Nielsen and things in them. And there's a skit where a pilot walks through the lobby and starts hurling customers and Hare Krishna people about the place. And then it sort of says, Fly United, and various ones like that. I even saw one with, they'd managed to put in the parody, they'd managed to airbrush in or Photoshop in Betty Davis as an air hostess for United, doing her roles as a not very nice person.
Now, we talked about Samsung redeeming themselves with the Galaxy 8 phone last hour after a very serious problem with exploding batteries. And we're thinking they may redeem themselves but are forever scarred due to what we call battery gate. What do you think about United, Nick? Many airlines in my lifetime have gone out of business. My grandma and I used to fly from New York City to Florida on Eastern, and they're no longer in existence. TWA, Braniff. Airline business is very, very competitive. Airlines buy each other out or they go out of business. Do you think this will be the death knell for United Airlines between the rabbit and between Dr. Dow? Will they ever recover? Will they ever be the same company they were a year ago? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it'll be the same as the Samsung debacle. They're going to have to work hard at their publicity and try and be nice to people and probably end up giving away flights for a couple of years if they were to buy back the public. I think that's what's going to need to happen, is that they're going to literally need to sort of buy them back. You said Samsung, you think of reduce the prices of their items. There will always be people that will say, oh, well, I always fly United, and that's rubbish, and it's a publicity stunt by their competitors. But I do think that people do vote with their feet, and if they think they might get a bad deal, they won't do it.
Now, you've flown a few times, Nick. Have you ever flown United? What's your normal airline of choice?
The only times we've flown in the States, we flew with Freddie Laker. You probably don't remember him. He was a big UK businessman who decided he was going to be the first person to do cheap flights to the US. And so he set up these cheap flights. They were so cheap that he went bust. That was the big problem. But we tend to use, we have a company called Ryanair, who are Irish, who, again, used to have a reputation for not putting up with any stick from customers. I mean, they would often throw customers off and be quite stroppy, but then they were doing flights at the craziest prices. I mean, we used to be able to fly to Spain for £19 return, which is, I don't know what that is, $15. So, you know, sort of 4,000-mile round trip, 6,000-mile round trip for $15. And it was only if you took extra baggage that you'd pay more. So they managed to keep their customers by keeping their prices cheap.
Nick, have you ever been bumped from a flight? And if so, how much did you get paid?
No, never been bumped. I've had the offer to be bumped, but somebody sort of gazumped me in the seat in front and said, I'll do it. I did last time that we flew. We were offered upgraded seats if we could let a family sit together, which we, of course, did.
Oh, definitely. Because you get free food and drink and bigger seats and much prettier stewardesses also, from what I seem to gather, if you sit in the preferred section.
Well, they put their family in front. They put the kids in front of the emergency exit. It wasn't sort of like the first class or anything, but we got to sit in the emergency exit aisle, which meant that we had extra leg room.
So we have about 2 minutes left to the show this morning, the maiden broadcast of the new temporary show called Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. Thanks again to our regular caller for calling. Always a pleasure to speak with this fine gentleman. Nick, before we say goodbye, which will be in about 115 seconds, anything about the Donald you'd like to share with our audience? I'm sure you have a few opinions that may be of interest.
I don't know if any of them are safe for air, but I did see a thing in Hay-on-Wye, our local book town. In the window, there was a nice comb case, and it had a picture of the Donald in silhouette on it, and the slogan, "We Shall Overcome," which I thought was quite subtle.
Yes, I did see that Facebook post, and I guess the rumors about the Donald's hair will persist. You mentioned there were some fields in Norway where they grow his hair, and that's a possibility, too. You never really know, but I think a lot of the mystery of presidents and what do they look like when they wake up in the morning, that's probably part of the fun of being a major politician, being the leader of the free world.
Yep, I think I agree with you.
About 60 seconds left here. Nick, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. And the sound is quite good, if I should say so myself. Beep, beep. Yes, tooting my own horn once again, because this show and all of the shows that we broadcast over the last 15 months or so are available on our website, maintained by me, at WWGH1071.com. So be sure to listen. If you miss a show, that's okay, because we are always available by the power and magic of our fabulous website. Thank you again, Nick, for joining me. Nick will no doubt be back on a future show sometime in the near future. Coming up at 11 o'clock, news and features, messages from our valued sponsors and underwriters, obituaries with yours truly. And, of course, news and weather with Scott. And then it's Linda Sims until noon. I am Adam Lepp. Thank you very much for listening.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.